Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of The Third Innings. I'm your host Varun Alvakonda and I'm joined by Shayan Ahmed Khan. So what the fuck did we actually just watch here, brother? We could pretend to do some serious analysis for this, but there's no way I can analyze this day seriously without laughing. Those last like 20 minutes was peak test cricket. Like, it is beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely, like, loved it, you know. Really going for both the batters going for their hundreds, and I think I would also echo the sentiment that Sunny G and Harshav Hogle were saying on air, that, you know, they did all the hard work, they did deserve to go for the 100. I don't really think it was a spirit of cricket issue in this case. Mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, a lot of discussions are going to happen now. And the fact that India pulled off this comeback after losing 2 wickets in the first 5 balls, I think that is really, like, absolutely special stuff. And especially because of how the wicket was behaving a bit in the morning, I think, like, because a few balls were keeping a little low and Stokes was bowling really well, I thought. So I also started thinking, okay, maybe India can't draw this anymore. Like, maybe India will just lose this match. But then, you know, they actually just batted really, really well, man. And Jadeja and Washington, both of them are really the sort of batters that you would want in a situation like this, because you know that with the skill sets that they have, they are almost perfect to just keep batting time.
Yeah, these two are the perfect. I think I've said, like, in the previous third innings that it's with these two issues, sometimes it's like they don't have the right gear in every situation. This was the perfect situation for them. It's like this suited exactly. Them to a T. Just, they could just bat normally. The pitch wasn't doing anything. The bowlers were dead. So it's like, again, it's such a fabulous inning. I kid you not, yesterday when they, like, before the inning started, I remember texting group, I was like, they will not last today. And then when 0 for 2 happened, I stuck by it. I was not expecting what I just witnessed after that. I was proven wrong by this team, mainly, especially because they went in with one frontline batter less. And on top of that, Panto got injured. So it's like, they didn't even need Pant. They didn't need Shardul. It's like, it's such stupidity, right? I think Jared was telling us the last time the Indian 4, 5, 6 got hundreds was in Kanpur in 1979.
Such a long time ago. And one of the openers also got a 90, so.
Yeah, it's like, again, does this count as tough runs for Shubman Gill? Because everyone else got runs. It's like, because all we heard before this test match was, Gill made like 600 runs, but like real ones will know in none of those came in pressure situations. So it's just bullshit, by the way. India were like 210 for 5 when he got the 270 odd, right? It's like,
exactly.
It isn't even
when
true.
He got the 269 in that
I think
partnership with Jadeja.
We talked about it. Sometimes you could suffer from success when you make too many runs. The overall innings doesn't actually look like it was a lot. I think, so that's the, what do you call it? The Edgbaston test is the perfect example, right? I think the top 6 average, excluding Shubman, was like 33. It wasn't even that bad. It's just he made so many runs that no one was expecting it. So yeah, he was basically the opener in this. It's fascinating. The one tough run he gets isn't actually as a number 4. It's basically as an opener. This innings, it's, again, K.R. Rowlett again was fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that India were able to pull off this effort was really going to be on the basis of what KL Rahul and Shubman Gill had, like, they had to set the platform, and they did that beautifully last night. So last night when they were batting, I was feeling very secure, like, and I think most Indian fans would be feeling very safe, secure that, okay, now most probably a draw should, like, it's a very high chance that a draw happens in this game, right? Because of the way they were batting. I think Harsha was on air, he mentioned that they only played 6% false shots in the final session. So you know that the wicket was also not a very difficult one after a point. And of course, the context of them being so far behind and losing 2 early wickets. So it was, I think, still a tricky situation. And early on, I think Archer and Wokes were still bowling well. Because if you remember, Gill was not looking very confident early on. He was still, like, you know, playing a few false shots, but then he really starts hitting all those shots, and I think those drives were really good, like all those on drives, he was hitting off drives, and like he was batting very, very well. And same for KL Rahul, as always, like his classic bat pad leave that we keep talking about, right? So I think those two really set it up. But when Stokes got KL Rahul LBW, I was like, okay, what is going to happen now?
I was like, this kid is going to take a 5-wicket haul again. I'm like, I mean, it's in an endearing way, not in an insulting way. It's like, fuck's sake, not him again. Not Ben Stokes. I'm not bothered to spend another day just talk about how good he is. I mean, even though he is very good. So it's like, yeah, it's so many things happened. Again, the KR wicket, I was like, oh, surely they can't. And then Gill got out playing a very, I guess, lazy shot, I want to say, when he got, again, we did a video on this, right? It's the whole milestone thing where it's like you lose focus, because Gill wouldn't play that shot when he's on 98, would he?
Possibly, but would you also not say that Archer just bowled a good ball? Because I think Cricketing View also tweeted about this, because if you see that ball had a bit more extra bounce, like from the length that he bowled.
Yeah, maybe. I don't, I still, yeah. I just think, I don't know if Gill plays at it if he was on 90 in the 90s. That's why I'm thinking.
Possibly. You know, I mean, I can see the, what you mean, because it was a bit wider. I think fifth stump, sixth stump line roughly.
And so
he could have left it.
Hey, Alok's here. Hey, Alok. Bart is a serious fan of the question. Statistically, is Stokes in the top three all rounders in this year's Test cricket? No. That would be Sobers, Callis, and Imran.
Sobers, Imran, and Callis, right?
Yes, Sobers, Imran, and Callis, yes, in that order. Actually, I probably have Imran first, but like, let's not tell Jared that. He's a very big Sobers fan.
Yeah, no, but I think if we talk about like the great seam bowling English all-rounders, I think, of course, number one has to be Ian Botham, and then it's Freddie Flintoff and Ben Stokes. Like, you can pick whoever based on what you value more. And like, yeah. I think Flintoff was more of a bowler. Like, he had a higher workload with the ball. But I think Stokes is comfortably the better batter from whatever stats that we have seen. I, of course, couldn't witness Flintoff batting live in Test match cricket. But Ben Stokes, I think he is a player of great innings. He is not a great batter. But as an overall package, I actually rate him really highly in Test cricket. And after Ravindra Jadeja, I think he's the best Test all-rounder of this current generation that I have seen in my life.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair. Again, we talked about this, right? I think his issue is that I don't think his batting is strong enough to justify how little he bowls.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Yeah, that's my issue with him, because he's giving you like basically fifth bowler utility, but he's not like Callis level batter, is he? Like, in no universe is he in that. Like, is he in the top 100 Test batters? I don't know if he is.
I don't think so. I wouldn't think right. so.
Like, yeah, so we're getting a lot of questions of will Shardul play the next game? Will Anshul Kumbush play the next game? They might have to, because I don't think any bowlers are fit for India, are they? Like, that I said, can they afford to drop Anshul? Because who the hell is fit for them? Because Bumrah isn't playing the next game. Siraj, I think, is dead. Is Akashdeep fit? I don't know. Like, what are they going to do? Is Arshdeep still injured? I have no idea what the hell they're going to do. Kuldeep might have to just play because there is no one left, but Gambhir will find a way not to play him. But yes.
That will be funny. If after all of this, we still don't see Kuldeep Yadav playing the final test, that would genuinely be hilarious at this point. Like, you have to pick him as a bowler, man. Like, really. It was actually like a lot of people were not really they didn't really like the idea of Shardul playing at number 8 instead of Kuldeep, and I think we talked about this in the first test as well. I wasn't as averse to this idea initially when they first did it, but still, even I would have preferred Kuldeep. I think that's what I said on record that time as well. But now, based on what I saw of him bowling in this test match, I think even I am convinced now. He is not giving you the fourth bowler utility that he was once upon a time back then when he was playing in Australia, England, South Africa. He was giving you fourth seamer utility back then. And he could, you know, play those inconsistent but like impactful knocks at times. But I think simply for his inconsistent batting, which can, you know, it's not even like a Washington Sundar or Kuldeep Yadav in the sense that, you know, that there is consistency in however they will bat. Of course, I'm not
saying... He's not reliable, Shardul, right, I think. Yeah,
I'm not saying that Kuldeep is a better batter than Shardul. Obviously, that is not the case. But when you talk about Kuldeep Yadav in this case, he will give you 20 of 100 a lot more consistently than, say, Shardul giving you those 40-50 runs, because he is really volatile in the way he bats. And I don't think that's... Anyways, they shouldn't be looking at batting for at number 8. You have to pick your best bowlers. And I think I'll bring up the point that DOF says. So he says, if you treat Jaddu as a batter, surely this team setup becomes a lot cleaner. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, this that's exactly what I was saying. That's what we've been saying in our group chat. It's like, if they think Jadeja is good enough to bat at 6, I don't. But fair enough, if you think so, if you think that's the case, then his bowling is irrelevant to the conversation. Like, his bowling is a bonus at that point, right? Then the question should be, do you want, if you have Washington Sundar at 7, then Kuldeep at 8 is fine, because then you're just playing a 3-2 combination, right? Jadeja's bowling, you use Jadeja's bowling in the same way England use Root, obviously at a much higher level in this case, right?
Yeah. It's just like you get, because Jadeja is not really a wicket taker in England, and even in this series, like, he hasn't even done too well, you could say, economically. He's gone, like, Baseball England have taken him for a few runs. So I would just say that, you know, Jadeja at 6 as a batter who can give you a 6 bowling option with Washington Sundar as the fifth bowler, I think that's fair. From based on whatever I've seen him bowl, I think I'm happy with that. And then you pick Kuldeep Yadav and your 3 best seamers. Now the question is that for the final test match, which seamers will be fit?
Yeah, that's and again, do India go with, if they go with Kuldeep, let's assume Bumrah won't play.
Bumrah won't play, I cannot see that happening.
Will they finally rest Siraj, or are they just going to tell him to power through? Because Siraj never rests.
I think he deserves a rest now, because Honestly, this was a really bad test match for him. I know I've often been saying that he has been unlucky, and I did that whole big piece on him and everything. And I actually did believe that in the first three tests, I liked seeing how he was bowling. But this test match was just not good. He had his moments, I would say, at best. But that was also not really very threatening from whatever I could tell. And he was just like, this is what was happening with Bumrah also. I feel like they were just giving a lot of balls on the pads to Joe Root and all. They were just easily flicking those. And it was never really any sort of discomfort for the batters. And of course, clearly we've seen that this was a good wicket for batting after that first innings. And it seemed to not really have too many demons in it. But when we're talking about the combinations and everything, I think Bumrah and Siraj, if let's say they don't play, who are the three best seamers that India can pick?
Akash probably plays, I think, if he's fit.
Yeah, if he is fit, he has to play.
Surely Prasad comes back, right? Yeah, surely Prasad makes comeback. Who the hell is the third seamer? Is Arshdeep fit? I don't know. I don't think they'll play Kamboj or Shardul after this. I think they might have just called it quickly.
Possibly, you know, like they could just think about playing one of Anshul or Shardul, depending upon who is fit. I think it's not really a situation of who you want to play anymore. You have to really look at, you have to calculate the sort of fitness that we're talking about for all these seamers and see if they can really, you know, power through. And Siraj has been bowling a lot now. He has played, what, 9 consecutive test matches in Australia and England? Yes, he had that break in the Champions Trophy, which he deserved. But even now, I think four test matches, he's averaging around 40 with the ball. I think this has ended up being like from a decent to good to now a bad series for him, under par series for him, I would say, especially after this test match. So might as well just rest him and try the other bowlers, but they have to take that call now.
What just happened there? I don't know.
Yeah,
sorry. I feel like I just heard some sound somewhere. That's weird. Yeah, sorry. I forgot what I was talking about. Yeah, like, it's not just an Indian thing, right? Even England, like, all their seamers seem to be dead. Ben Stokes spent the whole game just holding his shoulder. Like, what are they going to do? Who's playing? Who's playing for them? They may very well need to just play a fresh attack for the Oval Test, right?
Exactly. Because do you think Archer plays the next match? Will they risk him for the final match?
I don't know if he played back to back already, right?
Yeah, if they want him to go to Australia, they might just, you know, think, okay, let's rest him. Ben Stokes, how much is he going to bowl in the next match if he's going to play? Like, he will play, I think. There's no way he will definitely power through and, you know, figure out a way to play. Even if it's just as a batter, he will play, I think. But I can't see him bowling a lot of overs. He's already bowled the most overs he ever has in a test series, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. So who would England be? I'm assuming Atkinson has to play now. He's had, they have Overton, they have Tung. They may have to bring in Sam Cooke again if Ben Stokes isn't fit. I think, knowing Stokes, I think after the draw, he probably will just play himself and break. Like, I don't know if Stokes is the type of guy to sit out. Like, even if he doesn't play, he might still just play as a batter or as a captain.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you have Wokes in your combination?
Surely they rest him now, right? I think, is he fit to play? Like, he looked dead as well. Like, all of them looked dead. I'm surprised Wokes played this test match, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, Wokes hasn't been very, you know, good also in this series. How much is he averaging in the series? I think this test match still he looked a bit better, I would say. But not really a very good series for him.
So he's averaging 52.8 this series so far.
52.8, yeah.
He looks a bit makes shitty. Sense. Stokes is 25, Bumrah's 26, I think. Siraj is just under 40, which is...
Yeah.
Like, for this series, might actually not be terrible considering everyone else.
Possibly, yeah. After seeing England also bowl once again, I think maybe 40 is par and not under par. But I think it will depend on if he plays the next match and if he can turn it around and all of those things. But I think India to take this result, right? Like, who would have thought that they will end up drawing this test match? We haven't really seen a lot of draws in test match cricket in recent times. Like, you know, these rear guard effort sort of draws. Obviously, we had the Sydney draw back in 2021. Then we had the draw when New Zealand drew in Kanpur in 2021. And there that Pakistan versus Australia, the innings where Babar Azam made like 190 odd runs. And so we have seen a few efforts here and there, but in the whole, you know, World Test Championship era, it's just become very rare. And we've also talked about how modern batters don't really, you know, they maybe don't play as many draws, so maybe they're not as well equipped to handle these sort of situations. But yeah,
I think we definitely talked about that. Also, like, I don't think we've seen many pitches like these, right? We don't see a lot of flat pitches in the World Test Championship era, so we don't see as many draws naturally. And then, as you said, I think batters are just terrible at playing the day five draws that old school batters used to be good at. Like, it's the whole 280 for three on day five thing, right? Like, get 100, get a nice fourth innings under a stat pad, and things like that. This felt like that, right? Like Washington and Jadeja perfectly suits it for that kind of thing. So we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back to discuss this further.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Third Innings to answer Bart's question. But I'm not saying we've never had flat pitches. I'm just saying we haven't seen these often. Like, this Pakistan are obviously the exception to this. They had flat pitches. There's just like flat plus. It's not flat. They're like flat plus at that point, right? So, yeah. Definitely, even before the rank turn, they had some horrid pitches, I think.
When did we last see normal cricket wickets in Pakistan? I think probably that series in South Africa in 2021. Versus South Africa in 2021.
We've seen either extremes in Pakistan or this after that.
We've either seen these four rank turners or these absolute roads. It's not a great spectacle for Test match cricket, in my opinion, at least. And the thing with this is, at least in this series, you could say that we've still had three results, right? Because of the way England play, and even India are not really a team that really plays for the draw. But in Pakistan, we've seen a lot of boring games simply because, you know, no team has pushed as hard to, you know, go for the win or anything like that. England did, and they won 3-0 once, and they had that 823 test match, and then they made two rank turners and it all fell apart. So.
Oh, it's crazy, I think. So Doom says Warren did not want Sir Jadeja's selection for this test, but Sir Jadeja let his performance do all the talking. As he did, did he or did he not bowl pretty badly? That's my entire point, right? I think my original point was I don't think his bowling is good enough for him to just be the sole all rounder at seven, and I don't think he's the right type of batter for six. I'll stand by it. I think he's been great form, as I said, and he batted really well in this final innings. Credit to him, but I'll still stand by it. I don't think Jadeja at six is a very good long-term solution, or I don't think Washington Sundar should be a top five batter, like people seem to want him to be, right? I think at some point I would want to see a specialist at six. Ideally, I think I would have wanted like a Jurel at six. I think even if he's not keeping, I certainly hope he plays before Jagadishan in the next test. Like, it would be crazier, I think.
Yeah, Jurel has to play. So as DOF says, at least in this series, just play Jadeja as a batter until, you know.
I think if he's in this form, sure. I think he's also had great entry points, right? Weirdly enough, he had a very bad entry point in this innings because he came in very early on after the second new ball. I think in the first innings, again, it was similar. Like when he came in, it was just to the second new ball. So they might have batted too well for him at number six at times, I think. One innings, man. Like, and he has like 5 50s and 6 innings, I think, for India, eh? Like, yeah, and he played really well in, Ranchi. Yeah, I'm thinking of Ranchi, yep. Yes. I think he's brilliant. I think Jurel has an incredibly high ceiling. Like, again, like, knowing as much as we've hyped him, he might get like two ducks in the next test match, knowing our track record, but still. Not much we can do, I think, in that case, I'd say. But it's, again, as I said, it's not really about the outcome, it's more about the processes. As MS Dhoni always says, like 10 times in every press conference.
Yeah, right. I think Jurel has to play the next match, and we saw how he played in his debut test match in Ranchi, right? Like, he looked really, really class. He made 90 runs. He had that partnership with Kuldeep Yadav, looked very solid down the ground. I think that was what really stood out when I was watching him bat. And of course, that was against spin. So it's a different ball game when he will play here, but because it's been batting friendly wickets here as well, I think he should be good. Like, he has to play the next match anyways, because do you think Pant is going to play the next match? I don't really think so.
Nah, I doubt it. Wasn't he ruled out for 6 weeks before he came to bat?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. So if that holds, Jurel obviously just comes as a straight swap for Rishabh Pant at number 5. And I think obviously they need to continue with Jadeja at 6 and Washington at 7. I don't have any issues with that. Unlike Varun, I was completely in favor of Jadeja batting at number 6 because I've seen him bat in England over the years. And I think in the Bass ball era, especially if you look at his stats versus the softer ball, he's got an incredible record versus that. And once the bowlers are tired, the way he plays, like, I think it's just perfectly suited for that lower order style of batting where you can tire out the bowlers. And today, actually, if we talk about today's innings in particular, he looked really solid, right? Like, he was playing with intent. He was coming down the ground and hitting his shots at times versus spin. Yeah. It was mostly like both him and Washington, I feel, when they were playing Dawson, they were playing more on the front foot. They were just defending well on the front foot, but they were also able to take runs from going on the back foot. So I think it looked pretty solid to me. And I think their control percentages were in the mid-80s. So pretty solid effort from both of them. They, how much was the partnership eventually? Was it more than 200?
I think it was over 200. Yeah, it was over 200 last I checked. Yeah, also, like, did you remember there was an end, I think, which Stokes was bowling from, which had inconsistent bounce, but it was only to, like, the right-handers, wasn't it? Because, like, obviously, like, because for the right-handers, it brings bold and LBW into play. That's what happened with KL Rahul, right? Whereas I think because India had two left-handers, you couldn't really use that inconsistent bounce, since if it does, it might just pitch outside, like, anyway.
So
it might have really helped them. The other thing is both... We posted a graphic on our Twitter and Instagram as well as left-hand finger spinners versus left-handers on day five, right? Or in the fourth innings, which is... So there is also an element of both the left-handers did very well to not give Dawson anything, right?
Exactly. And even when Dawson was bowling well at times, I don't think he bowled too poorly. It's just that I don't think he caused as much of a wicket-taking threat. At times, he was, like, you know, able to generate, like, harmless fall shots, if that's what you would want to call it. I don't really know what's the right term for it. But it didn't really seem at any point that, okay, are these guys about to get out? Because the way, like, their defense, the way they rotated the strike, the way they were getting boundaries from time to time, it didn't really cause too many issues. And I think Jadeja versus Stokes was also another interesting battle where he was trying to bowl short balls, but Jadeja just countered it really well eventually. And we know that against high pace, he doesn't seem to really have too many issues, isn't it? That's that what we talked about?
Yeah, I think we said is the, what do you call it, the Walmart Virat Kohli. Yes. That's what I said, yes. I think he's he's fine versus high pace, but he doesn't like movement. I think he's okay. He's good versus spin too. Like, again, but doesn't like, it's not very good if it spins too much. Again, like Virat in that sense, I'd say. Yeah, so DF makes a funny point. That. England low-key missed Bashir bowling pies because India must lock some in there. I was saying that on the group chat. I was like, they missed Bashir's shit bullshit wickets. I think they were 100, Bashir 100% would have been like 2 for 100 in this innings. That's the kind of thing he'd have done.
It would have been a fun game, I think. If he was bowling, you know, I don't know how things would have been different. But I think definitely from whatever I saw in this inning, like in this test match, Dawson seemed to be a much better bowler in the sense that, if you remember, when the first day, right, where he got like 3 edges of Jaiswal in his first 7 balls, and the third one was when he got caught. So instantly, you could see that he had that impact. He was not really giving a lot of runs in both the innings. I think he went fine. And with Dawson, but I think we have to talk about the drop catch, right? Like, that drop catch might have just cost them this match. Because if Gill gets out yesterday, who knows how things would be completely different.
Yeah, even Jadeja gets dropped this first ball, doesn't he? Or is the second ball?
I completely forgot about that. Bro.
Same, it's been such a long day. It's like this... Again, England did what India did in the first test, right? It's like, it's their fault India drew this.
I agree, yeah. Completely. So, but I think the Jadeja catch was still a bit of a tricky one because Root jumped a bit, but then maybe he could have gotten it in his second or third attempt. Ultimately, it ended up being a drop, and if it was caught, who knows how different things could have been, because then Pant would have to come to bat, right?
Yeah. It's absolute insanity, this, I think. Yeah, so Manu is fully in the false number 3 area of the world. No, I think you back Sudarshan at 3 now, I think.
I agree. Again,
knowing Gambhir, I would not be surprised if they bat Washington Sundar at 5 in the next test. They call Jadeja. One of them might bat at 5, I think, is what I'm thinking.
Bro, I'm
of.
Telling you, just for entertainment's sake, I want to see Washington Sundar at number 3 in a test match once in my life. I think that has to happen very soon with all these false threes and everything. I think it will be interesting to see because, you know, the funny thing is now that we know that Washington Sundar is a very solid batter in the lower order in the sense that he can really, you know, bat time and actually, you know, build those partnerships. And at times he can also hit his shots, but I think he's a bit more limited in the sense that he doesn't bring out his attacking options as frequently. And we know that he does have a power game to some extent because in the IPL we've seen it at times, but it's just not been very consistent in the sense that, say, like a Jadeja, I think, is a better power hitter, or you could trust him to get more boundaries naturally than, say, Washington would, the way he plays. But maybe when he goes back to domestic cricket back in India, or maybe if he plays county cricket at some point, it would be interesting to see if Washington can actually be a number 3. Because if you try it out at the domestic level, maybe it works. Who knows?
Yeah, as I said, I think I've seen most of my life has been watching Washington be 40 of 100 balls.
40 of 100.
Like, yeah. He does it so often, I feel like. Or I don't know if I'm just misremembering.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like, if Washington bats at 3, he could be like... How do I explain it, man?
So I think Rahul was saying that Washington would be the anti number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, against the whole...
Yeah. Oh, I remembered. I will just stop you there. Yes, he could have his Venu Mankad arc. He's going to open, make double 100. He's going to open a bat in the top three. He's going to make double 100. And then he's also going to come and take truckload of wickets in India. I think we need that. And your pick of Sundar in that All-Time India 15 drafts, it will be vindicated completely when that happens.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. You look silly now. Yeah, Khalil is an interesting one. I think he's been in good Red Bull form. So I think that's why. I just don't think he's had any games, though. I don't think that's the issue with him. Like,
He played in the India A games versus England, no?
Yeah.
Versus England A.
Yeah. Again, why would you move Rahul? Poor Rahul, man. What has he done? He's finally made runs. He's finally making runs.
Let him live at home. Yeah. Let him stay as an opener. He will open. Yeah. As a three. Yeah.
So I don't know if he praised KL enough, right?
Yeah,
I don't know if he played. He's made 500 runs in a series. I think let's give him credit. Sachin Tendulkar never done that. So yes,
clearly KL Rahul is the better test batter, isn't he?
Of course, easily. Yeah.
So we're talking about KL Rahul. I think it was also his first 400 series, wasn't it?
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Might have been, actually.
Yeah, I think I heard. That's the stat I heard first. That KL Rahul's first 400-plus series. Then he makes in 500 again. Yeah.
So, Vishal, it's called clickbait. And I just thought of it just to test out whether it's better for the algorithm for us to have a title or just like fourth test. Fifth day in the third innings, for example.
But is it not a great draw anyways?
Yeah. I think it's a great
143.
Who the hell expected India to draw this test match, I think? How many people?
Yeah, at 0-2, of course, it's like a great comeback. I think we are sort of forgetting it now because of how easy eventually Washington and Jadeja made it look in the second and the third sessions. And with all the milestone chasing and everything, like all that fun. I think we are actually forgetting that India could have very well lost this test match when Gill got out. I think that was a very realistic possibility at that point. Because Rishabh Pant was not, like, we didn't know how Rishabh Pant was going to bat, right? So, I don't know, man. I don't really think it's clickbait. It's fair. It was a great effort from India.
Again, I think it's such a ease. Okay, so I think one of the comments reported up earlier, I forgot. Would you say this is better than Sydney?
No, I think. I think Sydney.
Yeah, I prefer Sydney. Yeah, same.
That was completely backs against the wall sort of stuff because of what Hanuma Vihari and Ashwin did. Then Pujara earlier on, Pant's innings. I think even Rohit gets a 50, I think, in the chase, right? 52, if I'm not wrong.
And, does he? I don't remember. Yeah.
I think he gets a 52. And Gill also gets a half century, if I'm not wrong. Like, it was a very good team effort from what I can remember.
Pant's amazing 97. Pujara's dead bat.
Batting at 5, by the way.
Yeah, Pujara's dead bat, obviously. And then again,
so Gill doesn't get a 50. Gill gets 51. Rohit gets a 52.
Backs against the wall, figuratively and literally, I think. Didn't Ashwin have no back in that? I'm trying to remember. Ashwin had no back. Vihari had no hamstring. And Jadeja coming in had no hand. I think we only had one hand, I think, at that point. So and also better attack as well. So I think that's more impressive than this.
Exactly. That's what I also thought.
Yeah, also, because they made it look so easy, right? Yeah. Was Pant injured in that? I don't remember.
I think he also had some sort of an injury, bro. From what I can remember.
I only know about Napier. I haven't watched it live.
So I can't confirm it in the same sense. Because I've seen both of these two draws live with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Napier, but I think it has to be up there. I think Napier, the thing is, New Zealand back then, they didn't have a great, great bowling attack, did they? That was not the bowling attack that we've seen in this generation with... You know, they're four fast bowlers or three fast bowlers that have played a lot for them. It wasn't the same level of pace attack, I think. And it was still a brilliant effort from Gautam Gambhir, I think. In New Zealand and South Africa, he's had really, really good knocks, which have helped his test match legacy for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, Rahul Singh, what's the fuss about India looking for hundreds? Ben Stokes was blocking out on 99 when England needed to get on with the game. Yeah, like I think I missed that initially. So I was like, I didn't understand what people were complaining about. So then I went back, I think, on CricketFan and saw that like Stokes offered to shake hands and Jadeja and Washi didn't. So I'm like, okay. I didn't even realize that was like that was an issue. So it's like, it was just funny. I think I don't, people might be annoyed, but like, I love Harry Brooks saying, fucking hell, get on with it, Washi, or things like that. I was like, Brooke is so good at playing the villain. I think he's fantastic. I think.
Is Brooke going to take over from like Virat Kohli or someone in the sense of like just being an elite shithouse, like being elite at shithousery? I don't really know, man. Like, I'm just saying random things at this point.
Yeah, Indian fans already hate Harry Brooke, and I don't think today will help that.
If I'm going to say, like, I'm also a Kohli fan, guys, you can just pay me.
Yeah, like the pantomime villain, that's what they need. I don't think he's a pantomime villain. I think he just like comes across the wrong way at times.
I think actually it's a good point. Siddharth says that Brooks' banter is much worse than Pant's. Yeah, I think I also agree. I love Pant's banter for sure. He's too hilarious. Yeah. You remember that compilation that Cricket Australia made back for the 2018-19 World Gavaskar Trophy?
A temporary captain. I think, yeah, that was good banter. That was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, I like Rishabh Pant's banter for sure.
Like it's again, it's fascinating to draw this because I don't like, it's been such a strange test match, man. Like, because I actually didn't get a chance to watch most of it. It's why we didn't have a third innings. Because I barely saw the first 4 days. So I was like, okay, fuck it. Let's just see the fifth day. India will get bowled out in the first sessions. It's going to be nice. But they kept batting. I was like, is this going to be like Lords again? Are they giving us false hope? And then they just did it so easily in the end, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I think we covered everything. Like, I feel like we're forgetting something stupid and I can't remember what that is.
You want to talk about KL Rahul's innings in particular or Gill's innings, like anything in particular about that?
I didn't watch most of it. I can't comment on it. So it's like,
yeah, I think that.
I think we have to give Ben Stokes a final shout out, right? I think it's how good was he?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant stuff from him getting a 5-wicket haul and century in the same. Who was the player of the match, by the way? I didn't like go and see who actually.
Surely they give it to him, right? I think it has to be him.
Yeah, it's Stokes.
It is him. It is him. Yeah, well deserved, I think. Well, completely deserved.
Well deserved, for sure.
Again, I am so also happy this was a draw. Like, again, like as a Jadeja fan.
Yeah, I'm saying that you could still argue that, you know, Joe Root's innings was more important because it really set it up for them. And by the time Ben Stokes came, it was a lot easier, like with all the platforms set and everything. But still, ultimately, Stokes was the one who took a 5-wicket haul in the first inning. So he really, you know, brought it to this. Otherwise, you know, who knows what sort of a game we were going to have if Stokes didn't bowl the way he did in the first innings.
He was so good, right? So Manu is saying Stokes is overrated, guys. I agree, but this isn't the series to say that statement because he does have an all-timer in the series, I think.
I think he gets overrated at times, but he's also like treated as this like player who can't really, you know, use just overrated. It's just strange in a sense. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle of the two camps of people saying, oh, he's overrated. Oh, he's so great. He's so clutch. Of course, he's like, I believe that he's a great moments player and everything. There's no doubt about that. But ultimately, like, as an overall package, I think he's a very, very good test cricketer. Probably an all-time great for me, I would say. But I would have to think this through a little more. But because of his all-round package and then his fielding, his captaincy, batting, he's, I think, averaging like in the mid-30s, right? Like 36, 37, around that is what his batting average is. So he's not a top six batter as such, but he's somewhere between 6 and 7, ideally based on his numbers. But he's a player of great knocks. We've all seen that. And again, his batting is much different from, say, a Jadeja, who is also not a frontline batter, but Jadeja's style of getting his runs and Stokes' style of getting his runs are much different. I think Stokes is probably still the better batter, but when we're talking about bowling, Jadeja is just easily clear of anyone, like, of Stokes easily when we're talking about bowling, like, even if we look at how they do across countries and everything, because Stokes doesn't bowl as often when you look at his full test career. When he is bowling, he is very good, but he's got these injury issues that he can't always, you know, he can't always push as much as he can. And I think he does have a very high ceiling as a bowler. I like him as a fourth option. Really, really like him as a fourth option. I think if he was maybe just purely based on his skills, do you not think he could also be a third bowler? Like,
no, I think in this form, I definitely think he can be that.
In this form, for sure. But I'm just saying, like, based on his career, if he was not a batter, for example, and he didn't have to deal with all of those, based on his skill sets, and we know that he has the ability to target the stumps regularly, he's a good fourth innings bowler. So maybe, you know, if he was completely just into bowling, he would have probably been a good third, like a third bowler as well, in a sense. Like, maybe like a Flintoff is what I'm trying to say. But of course, because Stokes' batting is also valuable, and his captaincy, his presence and everything, so... Yeah, I think it's just people either like to, you know, really put him down a lot, or they really elevate him to a status there where he's like, he's not like one of the greatest test all-rounders of all time. But in this generation, he's definitely one of the, I would say he's the second best for me.
Yeah, again, as I said, I think his bowling is very good, but I don't think his batting is strong enough to make up for how little he bowls. Like if he was bowling, I don't know, frontline bowler overs, then he is one of the greatest all-rounders of all time, without doubt. He still is, of course, but he'd be even better
as
in Krunk that case.
As he's not near Jadeja. I completely agree.
Yeah, he's not as good a match winner. I don't think he's the greatest.
Yeah. We're exactly what we are saying, right? Jadeja is easily clear. I think only as a batter, you could say that Stokes is a better batter than Jadeja overall. As a test batter, you have to pick Stokes over Jadeja, I think. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about, not on recent form, I would go for Jadeja too. But I'm talking about like overall career, Stokes has had, like he has scored what, almost 7,000 runs now. Of course, he's played more test matches, and I think he has been a more important batter for England than Jadeja has been for India. But with the ball, then it's easily like not even a debate. Jadeja is one of the greatest home bowlers ever. So that's not even like a conversation for me. Ashwin, I think, is an interesting one because I don't know as well about that, because he's not been a top 7 batter regularly. I know he's had his moments of batting at number 6, especially early in his career, and I think up to 2016, 2017 he was a better batter than even Jadeja. But from that point, Jadeja really takes off and Ashwin's batting dips. And if you remember, Ashwin bat like in the Sena countries and everything, he will hit those drives and pulls and cuts and everything, like you'll enjoy his batting, but he will not make a lot of runs and he will not bat time. So I think for all of those reasons, for me, it's very clear that Jadeja is the best all-rounder of this generation. But Stokes is also right up there in that conversation for me. Like, not with Jadeja, but after Jadeja in the next tier of, you know,
probably. I think that's completely fair. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening up to this point. Make sure to bookmark goodarrows.co. It's the one-stop shop for Good Areas everything. We'll be back for the fifth test. Hopefully, we'll cover all of it this time. But yeah, thank you so much for listening up to this point. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Baram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.